Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
The church, as seen in Ephesians, has many aspects. First, as the body of Christ, the church has his life. But an even higher aspect is that of the new man. In order for the church to be joined with Christ as the head to become the new man, it must not only have the life of Christ, but it must also have Christ as its person. It is this aspect that the Apostle Paul was focused on when he prayed so earnestly in chapter 3, that we would be strengthened so that Christ might make his home in our hearts. What is it really to have Christ making his home in our hearts? It means that his person, with his own likes and dislikes, would occupy our heart, replacing, even becoming, our own likes and dislikes. I hope this isn't confusing, but it probably is, and so that's why we have Francis Ball here to help straighten it out. Francis, welcome back to the program.
Well, it's always a privilege to be here, Chris. And we're in for a treat today to see how Christ is more to us than just life.
Francis, in the printed life study messages that we are endeavoring to cover each day, but of course with the time that we have, we can't cover every point in all of them, there's a nice sequence that talks about the Christ in Ephesians. Maybe you could touch some of those items.
Well, it's really marvelous. In this life study, Brother Lee has brought out Christ in so many aspects. He's the church-loving Christ. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And he's also the sanctifying Christ. He's setting us apart. He's making us holy. The Father's promise was that we would be holy. And we need Christ to be our holiness. And then he's the new man creating Christ. Many Christians don't realize that not only Christ dealt with Satan and sin and sins and the old creation and the natural man when he died on the cross, but he also created the new man on the cross.
Right.
This is a marvel. And then also, he's the heading up Christ. And this begins with the church knowing him, not only as life, but also as a person. He's even the gift-making and gift-giving Christ. So I hope that today we can see how marvelous it is that we have such a Christ as our life and as our person.
Okay, let's talk about this phrase, Christ making his home in our hearts. The verses, of course, are in Ephesians 3, 16 and 17, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit into the inner man, that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And then, of course, the phrase continues. But Francis, obviously, this prayer of Paul's, for us to be strengthened was really regarding believers already. So obviously he had much more in mind here than just the receiving of Christ initially, which I think is how most Christians take this phrase. Do you have Christ? Do you have Jesus in your heart yet?
Yeah, they consider that this one step of saying yes to the Lord Jesus is the whole thing. That's the whole step. But it's just like saying that the whole life has already been brought out in a newborn baby. No. We're born again. We're born of God when we receive Christ. He does come into our spirit. And this marvelous Christ is all-inclusive that comes into our spirit. But God's intention is to occupy us fully, even that Christ would be able to make home in our hearts. That is, that I am not just thinking what I like, I'm not just choosing what I like, but I have another person. I need to be strengthened into this man, this Christ that's in my spirit. So Paul is praying that we would be strengthened into our inner man.
Where Christ is.
Where Christ is living. This is marvelous. But for him to do that, he needs to be at home in our heart. He needs to come in, to settle down, to live there. His person would be our person. He would come to be the person that we're to live day by day. This is far more than just having him in our spirit. Now, this means that he's moving out into our mind, our emotion, our will, our conscience, all our inward parts must make a home for Christ. So Christ came in to make his home in our hearts.
This really brings us to, I think, the overall topic today, and that is the matter of growth. And as was pointed out to me a long time ago, and as I've read many times in the writings of both Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, this term of Christians growing, a more correct understanding really is not so much that we're growing, but that he's growing up in us.
Right.
Let's go ahead and join Witness Lee.
The church is not only the body of Christ, but a new man. It has Christ not only as its life, but also its person. And this is why in this book you have such a strong, emphatic verse, like verse 17, that says that Christ may make his home in your heart. Our heart is the center of our personality. All the different parts or functions of our personality are related to the heart. So this is the very spot that Christ is going to make his home. Yes, in a sense, the Lord Jesus, as the life-giving spirit, is with our spirit all the time. But that spot still is not where he's going to make his home. It's our heart, because our heart is the center of personality. Just by being regenerated, we have Christ in our spirit. But it is by further step of transformation that the Lord will spread into your heart. Every regenerated person has Christ in his spirit, but not many do have Christ spreading into his heart. So Paul prayed for this. Oh, that ye might be strengthened by the Spirit in your inner man, that Christ may make his home in your heart. Paul seemed to say, you Ephesians, you all got saved. You all got reborn. You all got regenerated. You have Christ in your spirit. But I am concerned for this one thing, that you don't have Christ in your heart making his home. So I pray for you. You need the strengthening in your spirit by God's Spirit, that Christ may spread from your spirit into your heart to make his home. This means to take him as not only your life, as what you had in your spirit, but as your person in your heart.
Well, Francis, don't be offended by my word, but I think he took what we were trying to say and just said it a whole lot better.
That's the reason we have the life study with Witness Lee.
Yeah, exactly. The with Witness Lee part is critically important, as always. Okay, in our spirit, we have Christ as life, but this matter of his growing up in us and beginning to occupy all of the chambers or portions or sections in our heart, where really our personality is now with its likes and dislikes and will and emotions and all of those things. This implies more than just having Christ as life. This really gets to having Christ as our person. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, I was just reminded while we were listening to Brother Lee's portion that of a song that I knew as a little child. Into my heart,
yes,
come into my heart, Lord Jesus. That certainly put another meaning on that song,
right,
that I had never seen before. And that is, to invite him into our heart is to be strengthened into our spirit, into our inner man, and let the Spirit saturate every part of our inward being, our mind, our emotion, our will, to become our person. A person has a personality. And our personality is really in our heart and expressed through all these parts of our heart. So we need the moving of the Spirit growing up into it, all the parts of our being. And Christ is in there, in our spirit, all the time. And he takes every opportunity we will give him to spread into our mind, emotion, and will, so that we take on the person of Christ. We not only have him as our life, but we also, as the new man, must have Christ as our person. There are too many people. We just need one person. We have lots of people, but we need only one person. The church has to be the very expression of the person of Christ, as well as live the life of Christ.
Francis, in this next section, we're going to touch this matter that the new man, as it's introduced in Ephesians chapter 2, it's very much in the context of the church. It says, out of these two peoples, the Jews and the Greeks, who get saved in Christ, God created on the cross this new man. So that's not our individual new nature being spoken of here, as some have understood it, and probably we have to say faithfully have misunderstood it. This is really the church as the new man, isn't it?
That's right. It's not the individual person. A new man is composed of all the believers together by this kind of growth in life and this kind of taking Christ as our person, become the corporate new man. One head has one body.
Right.
And one person. So this one person for this one body, or this one person of the new man, is Christ in all the believers.
And that is really the definition that we get in Ephesians. This new man is the composition of the body joined with the head, and that certainly implies that the body now expresses all that's going on in the head. That's how our body works. The hand isn't out there making these big decisions. We leave that to the head, and that is really the function Christ has in the church. Verse 15 in chapter 4 says, "But holding to truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things. Who is the head? Christ." And when Christ is really the functioning head in the body, there's one new man.
That's right, and this is a glorious a goal toward which we're pressing.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
The meeting of the church has to express Christ as the person. It is not just to be so hot or so aggressive in the work of the Lord. That's good. But we need some practicality, some reality, something so real. That is Jesus Christ himself expressed in all the meetings. Just to have the doctrine doesn't work. This is why Paul prayed. And this is why also we all have to pray, Lord Jesus, I pray for myself. And I pray for all members in the church that we all may have a full realization of taking you as our person. As a person in our daily life, in our family life, in our school, in the shopping, in doing things, in expressing something, Lord Jesus, I don't like to do it anymore by myself. I like to do it by taking you as my person. You like, that's my like. You dislike, that's my dislike. You are my person, not only my life. Oh, Lord Jesus, expand yourself within my heart and take full possession of my heart to make your home adequately in a full way. If this is the real situation, you could see whenever we come together, the presence of the Lord Jesus. In this kind of meeting, we don't need that much preaching, teaching, and that much the practice of gift. Because Christ, as the living person, will be expressed from all the meeting saints. Amen. All of them do have something of the personal Christ. The Christ that is the person to share with others. And this Christ will become so real, so rich, so available, even so present and so practical.
Francis, his last word here in this segment gets really practical, doesn't it? To contemplate that Christ becomes the person that's expressed by the church and that wants to be expressed in and through and out of all of us, the members. That means there's not much room for me to be expressed or you to be expressed, is there?
That's right. Paul said, "Not I, but Christ." Oh, if we could have this experience, not my life, but Christ's life, but being able to say in reality, not my person, but the person of Christ. The likes of Christ become my likes, and the dislikes of Christ become my dislikes.
Yes.
This is having Christ as our person. This is marvelous. His description of a church meeting that just expresses Christ is marvelous. And it's not so strange to us. We who are in the church life in that way, we really experience this kind of personality in the meetings, expressed in so many ways. His wisdom, his ways are unsearchable, but they get expressed in so many different ways of so many people coming together in oneness to be the share of the Christ that they live by. When that's happening, this is really the new man expressing Christ. And another thing was the fact that the new man includes all the believers. All the ordinances were dealt with on the cross, so that there's no difference. The Jew and the Gentile have all been created into one, so that there is one new man. And that new man has one person. And all the believers living by this one person is Christ making his home in our heart.
Francis, I was thinking as you were talking there about the very next verses in this passage we read a moment ago, 16 and 17 in chapter 3, verse 18 says, "May be full of strength to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of Christ." It takes all the saints to apprehend. It takes all of the saints, as you just said, to express all the aspects of this person Christ in the church, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. He's universally great and marvelously inclusive.
Well, our final segment today, Francis, we have this passage in chapter 4. We're kind of bouncing back and forth today between chapter 3 and 4 that says that you put off as regards your former manner of life the old man and put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and holiness of reality. And again, to remind our listeners, this new man is the corporate new man. We're going to see how what we've been talking about today really relates to how we can put off the old man and put on the new man. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
If you do have the perfection with the growth into Christ, surely you are putting on the new man. By putting on, surely something is being rid of. What is being rid of? That is the old social life. The old man in your conversation, the old man in your behavior, that is the old social life or the life in the old community. To put on the church life is, by the way, to grow in everything, in all things, into Christ. Suppose I'm a husband, troublesome to the wife, I need to grow in that particular thing. This is altogether not a matter of teaching. It is altogether a matter of growth. By taking Christ not only as your life, but also as your person. The putting on of the new man depends upon the growth in particular things in Christ. And this growth depends upon Christ making his home in you. If there's no possibility, no ground for Christ to make his home in you, that you cannot take him as your person, you are through with the growth in Christ. No possibility to have any growth in Christ. The more in your daily walk you take Christ as your person, the more you will grow in particular things into Christ. Then, eventually, in whatsoever, you will take Christ as your person. In that very thing, you will grow into Christ.
You know, Francis, these verses that we read a moment ago that he was talking about, putting off the old manner of life. Boy, I don't know about you. I remember the first time I was confronted with that, and I just was scratching my head. How am I supposed to do this? And how am I supposed to put on the new man, which, you know, in this context means to put you on and to put on all the other members?
That's right.
It's quite a formidable challenge unless we get our eyes enlightened and opened a little bit, isn't it?
I think that's what he meant by when Paul prayed that you would be strengthened into the inner man.
Right.
It takes some kind of power that's not outward. It's not a big show. It's not being louder. It's not having more things on the stage. It's just a matter of being strengthened into the inner man, which now is our spirit. And by that being strengthened into the inner man, we spontaneously take Christ as our person. If Christ is ministered into us and we receive Christ that's ministered into us, not doctrines, not simply teachings, but the real reality of Christ being ministered into us spontaneously, our old manner of life is put away.
Right.
So we get another person living in us, not just living for us, but he's living in us. He's living through us. If Christ is in us and living in us, then what's expressed? Not our person, but Christ's person.
Yes, I think it really addresses the issue that a lot of us as young Christians faced, or may be facing, depending on those who are listening, and that is that what the Scripture is exhorting us, what Paul is exhorting us, is not to live in a vacuum. That is, not that we just try to jettison all these things out of our nature and our character and our behavior that we have, you know, become habitual at over the years, but that there's a replacement going on, a displacement. The more of Christ that we take in, the more that Christ is allowed to grow into all of those components of our inner being, the less room there is for all of these old things, isn't there?
That's right, and I like that word, grow. Christ is growing. I know I heard as a young Christian, we have to grow. But my thought then, and I think what was in the thought of those that were helping me, was to get more knowledge, to understand more things. And that's not without that, but it's certainly not just that.
Right.
We must have a growing process of this seed of Christ who was planted in our spirit can grow into all parts of our person. So that our personality really becomes the expression of the person of Christ. So that when people meet us and when they see us, especially in meetings of Christians together,
yes,
you really have a display of Christ. We've seen this happen.
Yeah.
That people come into a meeting, like Paul said in Corinthians. He said, when they come among you and you all prophesy, they will fall down saying, God is among you.
That means God is being expressed.
That's right. He's growing.
I think that touched you. It touched me. I think it probably touched a lot of people who heard this word today, this matter of the person of Christ being expressed in the church and in the meetings of the church and in the gatherings of the church. Oh, boy, there is a longing within all genuine believers, I think, for this. When it becomes our reality, there is something very satisfying, not only to us, but that usually indicates there's something satisfying to God as well.
That's right. And I really feel like we're seeing something here that really is a satisfying thing in all the Christian hearts.
Thanks as always for your fellowship and your help, Francis, and come back whenever you're able.
Thank you very much. I'd love to.
Our time is up. We'd like to leave you our toll-free number and hope, of course, you'll contact us to find out about getting these printed life study messages that we referred to earlier. It's a 3-volume set for the whole book of Ephesians, 97 messages in total, and you can find out about how to get it if you'll call us toll-free at 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. Or you can write to us, Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. Or send email to radio@lsm.org. And we hope that you'll be able to join us for the last programs in our Life Study of Ephesians. We have the rest of this week and next week to go, and that's it. So please, don't miss any of these final programs. We think there's something very marvelous in each and every one of them for you. We hope that you're enjoying them. For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.
In both the first and last book of the Bible, God presents himself to man as the tree of life. Throughout the Bible, God is portrayed as food for man to eat and life for man to enjoy. In the Tree of Life, Witness Lee presents a view of God's heart that is little understood and seldom experienced by Christians today, revealing that it is God's desire that we receive Christ, experience Christ, and enjoy Christ as our moment-by-moment supply. The Tree of Life from Living Stream Ministry is available at Christian bookstores everywhere.